That's all great. Lorraine is going to be speaking this morning, and then we're going to head into a time of communion. Stretch out your hands this way. Father, we love Lorraine. We love her heart. We love what she carries, and we ask for your blessing upon her right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
My first attempt to come to know Christ was with a Gideon Bible, grade 4, centennial year. It was gold. And in the back was this, you know, explanation of salvation. I was raised in a home whose concept of an afterlife was nourishing a tree to grow by the dust in the ground. So I read this concept about getting saved, and I'd had heard through various encounters about this book of life. And if your name was in the book of life, then I knew that you could get saved. That was my concept. So I read this thing at the back of the Gideon's Bible, and I thought, I'm going to put my name in here. Because, you know, like if it's real, if it's not real, it doesn't matter if I put my name in here or not. But if it's real and I die, I can show Jesus that my name is in his book of life, because it was right there where I signed it. The logic of what, a 9 or however old you are at grade 4. I thought it made great sense. And I think he took me to my word. I'm not sure if my name in that Gideon Bible would have got me through the gate. But I do believe that he honored that. He kept me alive through my crazy years until I came to understand what it really was to have a relationship with this living being, where it really does matter if your name is in the book of life. And we go through all kinds of process, don't we? As we pursue him, as he tries to help us to understand what it is. I was sharing with some ladies on, I guess, Wednesday. I don't remember which day, actually. But at any rate, I was sharing with a group how, I guess it was Wednesday, because it was during the Without Rival book study. And the concept of that is to come into who you are in Christ. Don't bother with who everybody else is. Be aware of who you are in Christ. And I've been married to Bruce for many, many years, and he's an awesome man of God. And I didn't know that I was hiding behind his awesomeness until I had a dream. And in that dream, I was standing before some guy with a book. And he asked me for my name, and I said, oh, I'm Mrs. Bruce Friesen. And he looked, he goes, what's your name? Mrs. Bruce Friesen. He's like, I don't see your name here. And it was so stunning to me, it woke me up. And I realized, it's not good enough to be married to an awesome guy. That's not going to get me anywhere in the kingdom. It's not good enough to be coming to a great fellowship. It's not good enough to sing some wonderful songs on Sunday morning. Who are you walking with on Monday, Tuesday? Who are you walking with in the hard times of life? Because for sure they're there. How are we interacting with this man, Jesus, who is the only way for life to come to us? It's the only way for us to walk in fullness. So he talks to me in very unusual ways. Over the years, dreams, visions, scripture, songs. Even old songs from my youth. We were in a really hard time, in one of our hard times in life. And the Lord started singing over us this song ooh, child, things are going to get easier. And he would sing that line over us over and over and over again while we cried, while we wrestled. And that song would wash over us. Who would have thought, eh? I think it's from 76 or something. So here I was driving in the car the other day. And boom, I get this song. It's in my head. Jehovah Jireh. I think it's from the 70s or something too. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His grace is sufficient for me. Well, I haven't sang that song since I lived in Winnipeg, I think. That's been almost 30 years or so. Well, that song was in my head over and over. I was singing it out loud in the car. I was singing it loud in the car. Took me a little while to kind of find all the words, but they came. Well, probably after at least two dozens of times of singing that song, it occurred to me that maybe God was speaking to me. That he had pulled this song up from my past memory, and he was speaking to me. So generally, Jehovah Jireh has always meant to me my provider. And I have almost always compared it to the provision of financial resources or daily bread, you know, whatever it is. You need something, you pray for Jehovah Jireh to provide it. And as I was asking him about this, like, you are my provider, Lord, and I was, you know, just kind of going through some of that, and why do you have this song resonating inside of me? What are you trying to say? And often when I ask the Lord a question, he asks me a question back because he wants me to discover the answer. He's a very good teacher that way. We retain things when we discover the answer far easier than if someone tells us the answer. So I'm going, what are you trying to tell me? Okay, yes, you're my provider. And he said, am I? Am I your provider? I think so. And what do I provide? Well, my daily needs. Really? So whenever he does a little thing like, and he never says it mean. He's always got this little glint where it's like, really? I said, okay, well, so you are the provider of all things. And it's kind of like, ding, 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 you know. Now you're onto something, honey. So I started thinking, what in my life do I need? I need peace. I need hope. I need patience. I need confidence. I need love. I need discipline. He is the provider of all that we need. Yes, for daily provision. But sometimes I think that before he can release those things, he wants to go deeper into our being because it's an unrest inside of our soul that he is more keen to answer than, you know, however much it is that you need for your rent or the new shoes that you either want or desire. So that term Jehovah Jireh comes from Abraham when he was asked to take his promised son and to sacrifice him to the Lord. Which Abraham agreed to do. It took him 3 days to walk to where it was that the Lord asked him to go or had shown him where to go. When you read about stories in the Bible, almost always when there's some sort of response that the Lord is looking for, there is a journey before that response takes place. Jesus knew he was going to be sacrificed. He labored over it all night. His disciples were like, maybe we should get out of here. Peter was shown a dream. Eat whatever is put in front of you. Completely contrary to everything this man had ever been taught. He's told by the Spirit of God to eat whatever is put in front of him. So he said, okay. So these guys come and say, we need to take you to our guy. So Peter goes. Takes him 3 days to get there. That's a lot of time to change your mind. That's a lot of time to think, yeah, maybe I didn't quite understand that dream. Maybe I didn't get the understanding right. It's a lot of time to decide to maybe just go home. Abraham and Isaac and a couple of servants had 3 days. This man's walking with his son, knowing what he's going to do for 3 days. He's walking. That's a lot of time to say, maybe I didn't get it right. Maybe I won't do that. Do you remember Wesley Kahn? He was here just a couple of weeks ago. Missionary in Africa. He was a young man. And the Lord showed him in a dream a people group. And he showed him they were over there. So he asked around, and some people had a faint memory of a people group who had done trade with their great-grandparents and whatever. But no one had heard from this group for a long, long time, like, I don't know, decades. Well, Wesley and a buddy decided they were going to go find that people group. They waded through swamps. They're like picking leeches off themselves. How long it take them? 10 days? A long time. Lots of time to say, yeah, I don't think so. I think I didn't hear right. Ah, well, let's go home and we'll figure out that dream later. Maybe we'll rent a helicopter and fly overhead. They kept going. I've asked him why. Compelled. He had to do it. They found them. And they were actually re-entered into the government of Mozambique as a people group, like a newly discovered people group or rediscovered, whatever it is. And through it, that people group came to know Jesus. Yeah. It'd be awesome to hear Wesley's whole story because it's a really cool one. But what I'm getting at is he had to walk. He had to go through some journey. It wasn't like even a McDonald's was on the way. You know, even on the West Coast Trail, apparently there's a coffee shop halfway. So nothing like that for Wesley. But the Lord provides. He gives us what we need to actually move forward. There's another part of that scripture, though, the Jehovah Jireh part that often just gets translated as my provider. And in the Amplified version of the Bible, which sometimes gives us maybe a little bit more insight, it says that Abraham named this place, the Lord will provide. And it is said to this day, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be seen and provided. I thought that was rather interesting. So, of course, you know, there's Isaac on top of an altar. Maybe look, wondering, what are we sacrificing? We didn't bring a sacrifice. Oh, I don't know what it felt like to that kid to get bound up and put onto that altar and stand there with his father's knife over top of him. But it wasn't until that point that Abraham then saw the ram because the angel cried out to him, Abraham, Abraham, don't do this. Now I know that you will do what I've asked you to do. I don't know about you, but where are they? Yeah. Don't reach out with the knife in your hand against the boy and do nothing to harm him. For now I know that you fear God with reverence and profound respect, since you have not withheld from me your son, your only son of promise. That word no is kind of interesting to me, because I think it can also say, now I see. So when the translation of Jehovah Jireh and Abraham named the place, and then it was said, the mountain of the Lord, it will be seen and provided. What was seen? Yeah, the ram. But I think we know God to maybe another level, where he knows, where we know he's not just looking for action, an outer response. We know he's not just looking for words. He saw something in Abraham's heart. He saw a willingness to obey unto death. Now, Hebrews tells us, and Romans, that Abraham actually saw that this child of promise would be raised up. It says he reasoned that this boy would be raised up. He reasoned that if God had given a promise, he would fulfill it. So if God is saying, sacrifice this boy, it would stand to reason in Abraham's mind that the boy would come back to life. I don't know if he'd ever seen that happen before, but he is the father of our faith. So it was faith that activated in him beyond natural circumstance. So God sees. What did he see in Abraham? He saw the fear of the Lord and obedience. God's given us everything that we will ever need. We are fully provided for. We are fully equipped. Why is it that sometimes we can't actually see that provision? Why is it that we hold ourselves back from stepping into things that the Lord is inviting us into? We want to see the water in the pool before we jump off the ledge. Who saw that Raiders of the Last Ark? Not that one, but you know, where he has to step out onto that path that he can't even see. Things get hidden from us, because in that hiddenness, our hearts get revealed. Our hearts get adjusted. And the freedom comes for the Lord to open our eyes to see the ram. Open our eyes to see what's in front of us. We live in the victory side of the cross. And yet, you know what? The promised land was kind of a funny place, I think, for people. Like, when you kind of stop, and I was thinking about it while we were actually worshiping. So there they were in Egypt. They were slaves. They had some food. They were maybe given a bit of water during the day, but I don't think they had freedom to just go and get some food or get a drink. They were slaves. They were beaten. They were killed. So then Moses is given instruction, get my people out of there, and off they go into the wilderness. Lousy scenery, nowhere to actually sleep. But they had manna every day. And they had water, miraculously provided. Their clothes didn't wear out. Shoes didn't wear out. But man, manna started tasting really lousy. Every day, the same old thing. Only get twice on that one day so you have enough for the next day because we're not supposed to work. But man, they started wanting that garlic and leeks. Did Moses bring us out here to die? Well, they were being killed in Egypt. They were already dying in Egypt. So they wander around, you know, try to get that Egypt out of them. Now we're ready to go into the promised land. Only a couple of guys who had endured the whole thing. Are going to be able to get in there. Caleb and Joshua, thank you. My son is named after both of those guys. You'd think I'd remember it. But they're the only ones who did the little reconnaissance with a bunch of other guys, went into the promised land, come back. What's it look like? We get to go in. Oh no, there's giants in that place. It's horrible. Yeah, but there's grapes like the size of whatever. No, I don't think we can do it because we're like ants. Yeah, let's just wander around in the wilderness for another 40 years, okay? So they do. They didn't want to go in where the grapes were huge because there were giants there, and at least we know we're going to get manna out here. At least we know he's going to provide miraculously for us over here. I don't want to go in there. That looks way too hard. But the provision for that place was there for them. It's for us. Yeah, life can look really hard. You get into the promised land. It's not like everybody in that land just shriveled up and died and, oh, now we march in and take whatever we want. What did it require? Obedience. It required being able to see, being able to hear. What's the Lord doing here? Doesn't work two times in a row. Try to do the same thing. Over and over, it just doesn't work. I told the Lord when I was very young in the Lord and kept feeling like I was failing him every single day. I said to him, oh, why don't you like maybe give me a list and I can kind of go through it and know that I have obeyed you. And I will know that I have done what you want of me every day. Just give me a list. It's like, well, yeah, we could do that. But then you wouldn't need to talk to me every day. Oh, yeah, right. That's kind of like a whole nother religion, isn't it? No, he sent his son so that we could actually come before our Father, look to see what he would say to us. We live in a society that really is so independent, especially here on the West Coast. I don't know. It seems to me that we really pride ourselves in rugged individualism. And you know how we have islands upon islands. It seems like however many ferry rides you have to take to get to an island, you'll bump into rugged individualism even stronger. People who have moved far away because maybe they don't like mainstream 2016. Sometimes it feels like you're in a time warp. We here who walk with the Lord need to learn that to look to see what the Spirit will say to us. Requires one more step. Obedience. Bruce sometimes preaches that it isn't like a how do you say it, a holy suggestion. Yeah. But sometimes what we look and see seems very weird to do. Like, Lord, we'll go back to financial provision. Lord, I need some money. We're broke. We don't know how we're going to pay our bills. So give that person $500. No, Lord, we're broke. We're the ones in poverty. Yeah, give that person $500. Seems really contrary to what would be kind of a smart thing to do. I would encourage that we get a bit of counsel in that. Does that sound like the Lord? Does this sound like how he would say it? Check your heart. Is this just one of those, you know, prayers of maybe it'll work? Or did we actually step into something that the Lord is actually saying? And we take our pen, or we take open our wallet, and like Abraham with the knife over top of his son, we say, yes, Lord. So we give the money. But maybe he'll say, oh, wait a minute, no. Okay, well done, faithful servant. Sometimes I think he'll let us give it away. And then he'll find another way to replace it. Because if Abraham had such confidence that his most favorite, per se, his promised son, the only son of promise, was going to be raised up from the dead, then maybe it should be a little bit easier for us to give away dust. You know? Remember that joke about the guy who comes to, they always say Peter's at the gate. I kind of think he's got a different job, but whatever. This guy gets there and he's got a bag full of gold. And he's like, I worked so hard for this. I just really want to bring it in with me because I just worked really hard. And I know we're not supposed to bring things in from the earth, but could you make an exception? So those who are authorizing it all say, sure, all right, go ahead. And they let the guy walk in with his bag full of dirt, or I mean gold. And they look at each other after and they go, what does he want road pavement for? You know, why would he want to bring in concrete? We got lots of that here. So what's the Lord seeing in your heart? There's probably every single one of us sitting here who has something that in life is, you know, needs some adjustment, needs a little bit of help, needs a breakthrough. And if the breakthrough isn't coming, go to your heart. There's a really awesome scripture that I think is so key. Oh my gosh, it's 25 to 12. I'm going to leave you with this scripture that is so key to our walk with Jesus. Just a quick show of hands. Is there anyone in this place who has had the Lord reveal something to them about themselves or a situation in their life that they didn't have natural understanding for? Yeah. Because he knows our heart. Search me, O God, and see if there is a wicked way in me. That's not a scary prayer. That's like a brush my teeth every morning and night prayer. Because I do not know what's buried in my heart. I don't know the secret things that hold me back from pouring my life out as an offering to this amazing God, to this only true God. to this living man, Jesus, who made a way for me to be before my Father boldly. I don't have to grovel in. I can run in. I can climb up on that lap anytime. And he will be so faithful to show me where I need adjustment so that I can enter into the fullness that he intends for me to live in. So that every provision that he has made for mankind can be released in and through my life and in and through yours. So, Father, I ask that you would help us to recognize what it is that you are showing, that, Lord, in our time of need, we would be able to go deep, to be able to see what you see within our own lives, Lord, that we would be able to cast aside anything that hinders us from coming into the fullness that you have for us, that our lives would be a testimony of your goodness and of the reality of your existence. In Jesus' name, amen.